Okay, sit down. That's good. All right. Look to your left. Look to your right. If the person on both sides of you is wearing pants and you are too, you're not right with God. You say, I can't afford to date. You didn't have to have a ticket to get in here. You say, I don't have time to date. You're here anyhow. Okay. For those of y'all who don't have a date, I have this to say to you. Okay. Now, the election's over, and I'm still discouraged, and I'm thinking the rapture, and I'm saying, is it time yet? Is it time yet? God knows what time it is. He also knows who won the election. God is very careful. Before he spoke the universe into existence, he knew all this. And when I want to think about how careful God is, I think about my favorite force, gravity. Gravity is the only scientific force that has no repulsive component. It's all attractive. It's unseen. Why did God create gravity? Because he had already written, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. The gravitational constant, according to some scientists, they said if it varied by one part in 10 to the 45th, my wife says, P, no one knows what those numbers mean. But I said, you know what teaspoons are? Yeah. I said, if you took 10 to the 45th teaspoons of water, how big would it be? How about 800 billion Earths? And God got it right. The same God that designed gravity very carefully designed your lives very carefully too. It's amazing how that works out. Oops, we better talk to that same God right now. Dear God, you're there. You care. You can and you do, and we're here, and you're not surprised about it. We're here for a purpose. God, please use us for that purpose and guide us with your spirit and speak through me to these folks today, please. Amen. Okay. Coincidence. It's just a coincidence. Einstein says a coincidence is what happens when God acts anonymously. Did you know nothing ever occurred to God? He knew it already. And so coincidences. As careful as God was in getting gravity right, what are the chances that this group of people would be in this room today? What did it take to make that happen? Maybe you better go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Maybe you better go back to every circumstance. You didn't pick your parents or where you were born. Amazing. God is guiding and directing our lives. And it's not by accident. And so the biggest thing he guided was getting Jesus here. In the Bible, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time. How are we going to get to the fullness of time? Open your Bible to Luke chapter 3. We're going to talk about what it took to get to the fullness of time, to get Jesus here, to get the message to the world. It ain't a coincidence. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Is every word of the Bible important? If they're not, you might as well scratch them out. There's no sense in wasting your time reading them, right? Okay, here we go. We're going to find out if you really believe that. Luke chapter 3, it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years old, and being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of, are y'all getting tired yet? Okay, just want to make sure. This is God's shout-out list here, okay? which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nag, which was the son of, I need sunglasses up here, which was the son of Maas, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Simei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Johanna, which was the son of, boy, this is sexist, isn't it? Huh. Just thought I'd point that out for the, if there's any women's livers in here. Okay, which was the son of Resa, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Salathani, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adai, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Elmodin, which was the son of I can pronounce that one, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eleazar, which was the son of Johan, which was the son of Mathathiah, which was the son, who on this list isn't important? Where would you be without your grandfather? Wow, I found out everybody I know had a grandfather. Okay. Which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonah, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Melsa, which was the son of Miriam, which was the son of Mattathiah, which was the son of, hopefully you guys are mad because I'm pronouncing their names wrong, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Solomon, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Abram, which was the son of Ezron. Glory to God. When's the last time you thank God for Ezron? Which was the son of Ezron, which was the son of Pharis, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Ragal, which was the son of Phelek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Selah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalalel. Anyhow, excuse me, Mahalalel. Which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Ezra, Annas, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Okay, now, everybody think for a minute. How many of these people realized without them we wouldn't be here today? They were real people. They had real feelings. They wondered sometimes, is what I'm doing worth it? Sometimes it takes a long time, doesn't it? It's amazing how God's so careful. And so you ought to get excited. Let's see, wonder where these people are today? In heaven. If there's such a thing as a golden shout-out list, it's going on in heaven and lasts forever. I bet they were glad they went through all that stuff. They didn't know it. You might be going through some stuff you don't know. Yeah. So now it's time for Jesus. No, it's not time. God sent Jesus before they had the internet, how would anybody know? Back in those days, it was tough getting around. It was dangerous getting around. And everybody spoke different languages. God has a communication. No, he doesn't. He's got that under control, too. About the time this is all going on, it just so happens that Philip of Macedon is ruling one of the city-states of Greece. And Philip of Macedon probably was a Democrat because he got all these people together and conquered all the city-states. He said, now I'm ready to go. He said, forward march. And some of the people say, what'd he say? Coincidentally, he just happened to have a tutor whose name was Aristotle. He went to Aristotle and said, we got a communication problem, Aristotle. I want you to come up with a form of Greek that's so precise, there'll be no double interpretations. I've got to get my army together. And he came up with something they call Koine Greek. We got the language, but Philip died. His son Alexander was pretty ambitious. He took that army and he conquered the entire known world. And the entire known world now is speaking Koine Greek. It's amazing. What a coincidence. God said, I didn't think that was going to happen. God did too. That's pretty careful, isn't it? Wow. Now, is this it? No, it's not it. Turn to Luke chapter 2. We got to get this here right. Luke chapter 2. It just so happened that at those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Just so happened. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was that while they were there, her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. Wouldn't you know it? All the inns in town are booked. God said, I knew I should. No, he didn't. And what happened? She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there is no room for them in the inn. Hooray for the fullness of time. Look at all these things. For 5,000 years, people didn't know how important they were and how every little event. I bet that innkeeper didn't think, I better save an extra room. It's amazing, isn't it? Is God surprised? No. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amazing. Wow. Look at all the trouble he went through. The genealogy, the time of his birth, the location of his birth, the language, and the Rome built roads and made it safe to walk on them so they could get about spreading the gospel. So all this happened coincidentally. Now think. Everybody go, Has God changed his mind or his methods? I don't think he has. Who in this room is here by coincidence? I don't think anybody is. Okay? And now, God's not surprised you're here. Now, how long has God been planning this? Forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. Let me share a little about my genealogy. I grew up in Memphis, and I was lost, but I loved learning. I went to a Catholic school where they literally beat me physically to make me behave, but I needed it. And they instilled in me a love of knowledge. I decided I didn't want to believe anything as vague and abstract as this book. I wanted the facts, the facts. I went to the University of Tennessee. I'm sitting in my first chemistry class, big lecture hall, man, all the amenities, and the teacher waddled out. And people who are educated beyond their intelligence and politicians move their mouths more than they need to when they speak. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to study the atom. I'm saying, yes, the atom. No one has ever seen an atom. I said, no. And this atom, which no one's ever seen, are three subatomic particles. You see an element of faith creeping into this? That was in 1957. When I finished Georgia Tech in 66, we had over 20 subatomic particles, including massless particles. Intelligent blondes, government workers, massless particles. Yeah. But I'm sitting there thinking, and the more I studied, the more I came to know I wasn't an accident. And God is saying, I'm here, and I'm shoving him out of the way because I'm afraid he cramped my style. It's kind of interesting. Finally, the second law of thermodynamics. I sit in Esterbrook Hall, University of Tennessee, about 1960, read in a book, a secular textbook, the statement that the author says, the second law of thermodynamics has increased this author's conviction that there is indeed a supreme being in whose hands lies the destiny of the universe. I got cold chills sitting in that room. I couldn't wait. I got back to my room. Shut the door, got on my knees beside my bed, and prayed the world's scariest prayer. I said, God, I believe you're there, but I don't know what to do. If you show me, I promise you, I'll do it. 3 days later, I'm sitting at a football game, November 1959, saving seats because I always went early and saved a seat because you know how females are. They don't have much of a concept of time. And you could always find one that would, you know, come by and say, that seat, and you wouldn't believe it. A pretty blonde girl went by and said, is that seat saved? I said, Now remember, I read the second law of thermodynamics. I got on my knees, said, God, show me. 3 days later, she's sitting there next to me, and we're looking over the south end of the stadium. I could see the Smoky Mountains. I said, aren't the mountains beautiful? Yes. Let's go to the mountains tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday. I know. Let's go. I go to church on Sunday. Oh, I start getting cold chills. I said, well, you got a date tonight? Yes. I'll break mine if you break yours. Let's go out. I won't do that. It's the third quarter. I'm getting desperate. I said, where could I take you on a date? You could take me to church. You know how those coincidences are, right? Now, at the time all this is going on, I don't know that either one of us realized the implications. We went to church. She enjoyed it. I thought you went to church so God could get even with you for any fun you had that week. But anyhow, I said, this girl's different. If she wasn't sitting so far back, I'd get her up here. But anyhow, I said, this girl's different. I've got to get a legitimate date with her. It took about 2 weeks, but I took her out, and we went to one of those places where it's dark and they show a rapid succession of still frames, giving the illusion of motion. But anyhow, I'm driving back to the girl's dormitory in my 1956 Dodge, push button transmission, dual exhaust, dual antennas, three-tone paint job. I found a parking place in front of the girl's dorm over at Sophronia Strong. I parked my car, I punched the neutral button, pulled out the emergency brake, shut off the ignition, flipped off the headlights. In those days, they didn't have seat belts, they had bench seats. Slid across the seat, put my arm around her, and I'm thinking, good move, Pete. And I turned to her with puckered lips, and she was sitting there with her hands folded in her lap, and she said, let's pray. Hey, okay, coincidence, huh? Boy, I proposed to her on the second date, the third date, the fourth date, fifth date. Took several years, but we got married. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm raising kids that are graduating from the college. I got 8 grandkids already graduated and 2 more in line. Let's see. Here's what's really quick. Frieda had a date that day for the game, but he was late. And she got mad. I don't know if she ever gets mad. She got righteous. And for that reason, she came and said, is that seat saved? Wesley and Ryan, you're here because of a late date. Now, wait. Now, think about that. At the time, you don't realize it. There's a lot of things going to happen in your life in the next day or two that might make a difference for eternity. But the story goes on. One day I'm teaching at the University of Tennessee, and I got a letter from Caterpillar Tractor Company. It said, would you take a year, 15-month sabbatical and come with us, come up here and help us design a diesel truck engine? I thought, that's in the north. In the south, people think that's where you go when you're bad, if you die. But anyhow, and I started to throw that letter away. But then I got a little egotistical and said, they asked me. I'm going to take this letter home and show it to Frieda. And then I'm going to throw it away. That seems like a little thing, right? I showed it to Frieda. And I said, what do you think? It might be God's will. It was. And so many things happened. At that time, I was a member of a Southern Baptist church. We rented a house sight unseen. And it just happened to be right down the road from a fundamental independent Baptist church with buses. And that was up in Illinois. And in the process, I went to First Baptist Church. All this stuff is happening because I didn't throw a letter away. Kind of interesting, isn't it? There aren't any coincidences. What's God doing in your life that you think is trite? You walk by a house on Saturday on your bus route and someone says, maybe I'll knock on that door. You say, no. Maybe ought to. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes I wonder how God feels about me doing little things and if he'll ever forget it. About 20 years ago at Christmas time, we went over to my daughter's house for a Christmas dinner, after which we were going to open the packages. Kelly had three sons, Sam, Stephen, and Simon. Simon was about 5 years old. We had hardly gotten in the house, and he said, Mom, is it time to open the presents yet? No, Simon, we're going to eat first. We eat. Mom, is it time to open the presents yet? I'm thinking, this guy's having a fit to get his present. No, we're going to sing some songs. Now, Mom? No, we're going to read the Christmas story. We read the Christmas story. She said, now, Simon. He said, can I be first? I couldn't believe it. He went, and he gave me an envelope. I don't have the envelope anymore. There were $8 in it. He was excited that he could give me something. Seems like a little thing. I still got the envelope. Maybe some of the little things we do for God get him as excited as Simon got me. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to say it doesn't matter? It does. Are you going to say it won't make a difference? It will. I'm going to heaven, not hell, because the date was late. Okay? What are you going to do? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ask the Holy Spirit to really and truly jog your mind, to make you sensitive to the little things. And you say, well, I didn't see any difference. Some folks didn't for 500 years, but they do for eternity. I believe some little things you're going by, God has planned. I think he planned them before he spoke the universe into existence. I think he planned them so that folks get saved. It's not the will of God that any should perish. Maybe it'd be good if we decided we were going to be a little bit more sensitive to the little things. Dear Lord, please, please, please use us for your glory. Help us, Lord, to turn the little things into reality. And help us, Lord, to realize we might not know how good it is till we get to heaven, but help us to realize we'll enjoy it forever there. Amen.